apologize for the lack of Mar Makomos. It's not that I don't have Mar Makomos prepared, it's that the copy machine in Yeshiva broke. So, therefore, I'm just going to have to work with what I've got in front of me, and you'll bear with me. So I wanted to talk tonight about Chazaras Hashatz, and really we could split it up into three different conversations, three different topics. When I said this in Yeshiva, I did split it into three different topics. Number one, how one is supposed to behave during Chazaras Hashatz, meaning how important is it that we remain silent, standing, learning, talking, not learning, not talking, right? What is one supposed to be doing during Chazaras Hashatz? Number two, how important is it that we actually have a Chazaras Hashatz? Many of us have been at Mincha Minyanim at the very least, where we do what they call a Hechi Kedusha, right? Where they pretty much skip Chazaras Hashatz. They say the first three brachas of Chazaras Hashatz and not the rest. What are the excuses or heterim to be able to do that and just skip out on the rest of Chazaras Hashatz? And what's the procedure to do it? Because I'm sure you've seen different people, different rabbanim even, some who, when the Shliach Tzibur starts to say the Shmona Esrei, start saying it along with the Shliach Tzibur from the very beginning, and others who allow the Shliach Tzibur to get to Kedusha, answer Kedusha, and only then begin the Shmona Esrei. Which of those is the correct methods? Are there any other methods that we don't know about to do a Hechi Kedusha? And in yeshivos, it's the very widespread custom in yeshivos throughout the world that they do a Hechi Kedusha at Mincha. Why dafka in yeshivos would they do a Hechi Kedusha? Where does that come from? And the third discussion, if we have time for it, would be relating to the fact that many people have a minhag to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo at each bracha in Chazaras Hashatz, and many others, or some others, have a minhag not to, or don't have the minhag to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So perhaps to explore, is it a minhag not to, or is it that they don't have a minhag to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and why would one yes have the minhag, why would one not have the minhag? So those are the three topics. Chazaras Hashatz in general, how we're supposed to behave, the Hechi Kedusha, number two, and number three, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Any preferences on which to start with? Anybody? All good. Okay, or all bad, but they're all equal. So let's start with, we'll start with the most basic, just what we do during Chazaras Hashatz, what the purpose of Chazaras Hashatz is, and how one is supposed to behave during Chazaras Hashatz. So there are two reasons that are mentioned in the Torah in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet, where he quotes the idea of Chazaras Hashatz. He brings two reasons that we have Chazaras Hashatz. Reason number one, he says, is the one that we're probably more familiar with, which is that in the olden days, back before the printing press, before everyone had a sitter in front of them, not everybody knew how to daven. And therefore, we would rely on the Shliach Tzibur to daven, and we'd listen to his entire tefillah, and through that, we'd be Yotzei Tefillah, because we couldn't do it ourselves. Or many people couldn't do it themselves, so they'd have to be Yotzei through the Shliach Tzibur. That's the more well-known reason for Chazaras Hashatz. But there is a second reason for Chazaras Hashatz, and that's also quoted by the Torah. And the Torah says, if you don't have Chazaras Hashatz, when are you going to say Kedusha? When are you going to say Birchas Kohanim? Right? You need that in order to be able to. You need Chazaras Hashatz to have a framework to stick Kedusha and Birchas Kohanim into. So, how is one Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur? So, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet that if you are an Eino Baki and you therefore want to be Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur, which doesn't sound so practical for us because most of us can read a Siddur, and even if we can't read a Siddur, they have Siddurim transliterated in multiple languages, so most of us can read some sort of Siddur. So it doesn't sound so practical, but it could be practical, because the poskim point out that although one is not supposed to rely on the Shliach Tzibur to be Yotzei der Shmona Esrei, what if you forgot Yalav Yavam? Can you then rely on the Shliach Tzibur to be Yotzei the Shmona Esrei? So the poskim say, although it's preferable to repeat Shmona Esrei, but if you want, you could rely on the Shliach Tzibur. In that situation where you already davened, relying on the Shliach Tzibur is not so bad. Right? So if you want, you can rely on the Shliach Tzibur. So if that's the case, how is one Yotzei by relying on the Shliach Tzibur? So the key is, Mishnah Berurah says, you need to understand Lashon HaKodesh. When you daven yourself and you say the words yourself, you don't need to speak the language. You don't need to understand the Pirush HaMilim. You don't need to understand every word. But if you want to be Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur, then you need to understand what he's saying. Silent Shmona Esrei, you don't have to understand, but if you want to be Yotzei with the Chazaras Hashatz Shliach Tzibur, you do need to understand. Now, nowadays, most of us are Bekiyim, like we said, so why do we still have Chazaras Hashatz? So the Shulchan Aruch says we still do it, we still repeat Shmona Esrei. There was a time where they tried to undo it. Not they tried to undo it. What happened was the Rambam and Rav Rambam and Rambam discontinued the practice of Chazaras Hashatz for a while because, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, and obviously this comes from earlier sources, if you don't have nine people answering the Amens to Chazaras Hashatz, Shulchan Aruch says it's Karov Lios Brach Levatala. It's close to a Brach Levatala for the Shliach Tzibur to be saying Chazaras Hashatz, and you don't have nine people behaving appropriately, listening and answering Amen to the Chazar Shas. So the Rambam looked around and he said, you never have nine people listening and answering Amen. So he said, might as well do away with it because we can't do it properly, right? Meaning there's a precedent for if we can't do it right, might as well not do it at all, right? Like Adam Zemiros. That was a joke. There's other reasons why we don't do Adam Zemiros, but okay. But the so that's the Rambam's, that was the Rambam's approach. Shulchan Aruch says, no, we still do Chazar Shatz, and we should try to do it right. Mishnah Berurah explains that there was never a takana to interview each person that walks into shul. Are you a baki? Are you a baki? And then figure out, okay, everyone's a baki here, let's not do Chazar Shatz. No, once they instituted Chazar Shatz, even in Minyanim, where everyone was educated and everyone knew and everyone was a baki, they still did Chazar Shatz. So why are we any different than them? Just because we assume that instead of 20% of Jews who daven in a shul being bekiyim, we now have 95% of Jews who daven in a shul are bekiyim? That changes the takana? No. It used to be in the times where there were more enim bekiyim, even in a shul that was all bekiyim, they said Chazar Shatz. So obviously, nowadays, when we're all bekiyim, we still say Chazar Shatz. So that's how the Mishnah Berurah explains. The Aruch HaShulchan says that we still say it nowadays because of what we mentioned before, Kedusha Birchus Kohanim. You need somewhere to stick Kedusha and Birchus Kohanim. Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Prima Gadim that a Baki cannot be Yotzei with Chazar Shatz, though. If you do know, you have to daven yourself. You can't just wait for the Chazar Shatz. Okay, so what do you do during Chazar Shatz? What is a Jew supposed to do during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei? So if you're trying to be Yotzei, then you have to do everything you would do in your own Shemoneh Esrei. Stand, feet together, kavana, right, and you would answer Amen at the end of each bracha to get the Shomei Ka'ona. Shulchan Aruch says you have to pay attention to each word, and Shulchan Aruch says that, again, since you need a minion for it not to be a bracha levatala, no matter how many people are in shul, always assume you're one of the 10, and it's usually a safe assumption. Always assume that you're one of the 10 that's actually paying attention to Chazar Shatz. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. What about saying or singing along the words with the Shliach Tzibur? Is that okay? Sometimes parts of Chazar Shatz, people like to either sing along or say the words along with the Shliach Tzibur. So the Tur, the early poskim, are very strongly against this practice. Apparently it was already a pretty widespread practice hundreds of years ago, and they were very against it. The Torah says it's a kalas rosh in the tefillah to start saying along or singing along the words of Chazar Shatz itself. The Bach gives three other reasons besides for kalas rosh why he thinks it's aser. He says, first of all, you're going to end up saying brachas levatala, because what are you going to do? You're going to say not just the first part of the bracha, you're going to end up saying the last part of the bracha also. Well, the Shliach Tzibur is allowed to do that, but no one else is allowed to do that. It's a bracha levatala. If anybody else says the bracha, we already were yotzi with our silent Shemoneh Esrei. We can't just say as many Shemoneh Esrei, you know, many random brachos in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei as we want with Shema Malchus. Second, says the Bach, you're supposed to listen to the Shliach Tzibur. It's hard to listen while you're talking. You need to be listening to the Shliach Tzibur. We can't do that if we're saying the words. Third, he says, when you don't listen to the Shliach Tzibur, you're making the Shliach Tzibur's bracha, bracha levatala. Because again, like we said, it's karav lios bracha levatala if you don't have nine people listening. So it sounds that the early poskim were very strongly against saying or singing along the words of the Shliach Tzibur. My wife's uncle, Julius Berman, told me once, a couple of years ago, that Rav Soloveitchik used to hate when people would sing along the words of Kedusha with the Shliach Tzibur. That Kedusha is supposed to be said as a Dover Shabbat Kedusha is, responsively, where the Shliach Tzibur says one part, and then the Tzibur responds, back and forth. So you can hum along, maybe, with the Shliach Tzibur, but to say the words along with the Shliach Tzibur during Kedusha, that's totally incorrect. That's not the way that Kedusha was meant to be said. And plus, you're saying everything twice. Because you say it yourself, and then you're saying it again with the Shliach Tzibur, the words shouldn't be sung along with him. To hum along, to make it nice, fine, right? That might be okay, but to sing along the words, he was very opposed to that. What about talking during Chazar Shats? So Shulchan Aruch says not to talk during Chazar Shats, but he doesn't stop there. Shulchan Aruch uses unusually strong Lashonos to say why we don't talk, or to describe how bad it is to talk during Chazar Shats. Shulchan Aruch says, Gadol Avono Miniso, that one sin, someone who talks during Chazar Shats, his sin is too great to bear, which is a pretty strong language for the Shulchan Aruch to use. And the Ramah says that it's a really great opportunity for chinuch. It's strange, of all the places, to point out, you know, this is a great way to train kids. The Ramah says, by Chazar Shats, teach them to say Amen. Because most of the other parts of tefillah, they can't keep up. I'm guessing that, you know, this is, well, many of the other parts, I know with my children, I'm sure with many children, most of the other parts of tefillah, when they're first learning, it's very difficult to keep up with everybody and to keep up with the pace that everybody's going at, right? But what's easy to keep up at? When you hear the end of a bracha, to say Amen. Even a young child can do that. And that's, so that often can be the first chinuch, the first proper chinuch that a child could have, and how to participate in shul, not just behave in shul, but participate in shul, is answering Amen after the Chazar Shats. Maybe that's the reason that the Ramah, of all places, the Ramah says, you want a good chinuch opportunity, teach your kid to say Amen at Chazar Shats. And the Mishnah Berurah says that, Mishnah Berurah explains that when you teach the kids to say Amen at Chazar Shats, already at a young age, they could be Yorish Olam Haba. That they can, you can get them a place in Olam Haba right then and there, just by teaching them to say Amen at Chazar Shats. Very powerful for, you know, normally you don't expect a Musar Shmuz like that when you open up a Shulchan Aruch. I sat down to prepare a Halacha Shir, not a Musar Shir, but very powerful, just on the page in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says, again, it's hard to know how people know these things about which averos led to which tragedies or whatever, but the Mishnah Berurah says that shuls have been destroyed over this, over the fact that people didn't know how to treat Chazar Shats properly. Shuls have been destroyed. Okay, so talking is definitely out, right? Not allowed to talk during Chazar Shats. Fine. What about learning during Chazar Shats? Right, Baruch Hashem, we have so many beautiful svarim. So you wanna learn? You wanna just read something during Chazar Shats? So the Ramah says you shouldn't do that. Mishnah Berurah says, if you already davened previously and you just happen to be in a room where they're davening again, so then you can learn during Chazar Shats. You shouldn't talk, right? You don't want to disrupt everybody else, but then you can learn during Chazar Shats. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, makes a point of saying, don't even learn if you're going to stop for the end of each bracha and answer Amen properly. Meaning, technically, that should be permitted. To learn during the beginning of the bracha, wait for the end when he's going to say the Baruch Atah Hashem, stop your learning for that moment and answer Amen. Technically, that should be permitted. Mishnah Berurah says, don't do it, though. Why not? Because he says there are a lot of amaratzim that are going to be in any given shul where a Talmud Chacham is learning during Chazar Shats, and all the amaratzim are going to say, oh, you see, that rabbi, that Talmud Chacham over there doesn't pay attention to the Chazar Shats. I don't have to pay attention to the Chazar Shats, and he's going to end up not learning, but talking. So it's going to cause that you're going to be machshel the rabbim, you're going to be machti as a rabbim if you learn during Chazar Shats. That's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests. Now, the implication obviously is that that's in terms of doing something obvious, learning in an obvious way. What if you have a sitter with a beautiful parish at the bottom? Not so obvious that you're learning. No amei aretz are going to be able to see anything from what you're doing. What if you're just thinking and learning? Right, so that would be no problem. Again, provided that at the end of each bracha, you pause to hear the end of the bracha and answer Amen. Right, that would be no problem. Rav Moshe says that this whole discussion, though, about the learning and during Chazar Shats assumes that there are nine other people listening. Because if not, then you have to listen to the entire thing. Now, the Magen Avram on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says that if you see someone who does learn during Chazar Shats, you shouldn't go give them Musar. You shouldn't tell them that they should stop. Because the Yesh Al Milismach to learn during Chazar Shats, especially, specifically, if they stop at the end of each bracha to answer Amen, so that's not something that you should go give them Musar about. I seem to recall, maybe somebody could tell me if it's correct or not, but I seem to recall one of my friends when I was learning in Yeshivas Keren B'Yavne, one of my friends who was learning in Gush told me that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to learn during Chazar Shats, but they always found that it was, no, you don't remember that? Dovi Billet once told me that. Ron Lutz used to learn at Chazar Shats, but whenever the Shliach Tzibur made a mistake, he was always the first one to notice. So, I don't know. He has two brains? I don't know. He's, I always thought it was just one really big brain, but that would explain a lot, right? He has a, he's able to focus on two things at the same time. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not true, whatever. Okay, but that's in terms of learning. What about standing? So some people have meant to stand throughout the entire Chazal Shatz. Is that required? Is that, what's the halacha in terms of standing? Right? Did we discuss, what did we discuss about standing recently during Kriyas HaTorah, Aseres HaDibros? Right? So what about Chazal Shatz? So the Ramah says that there's a minhag to stand, and the truth is, it's implied from the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. Right? The Rambam sort of gives that implication as well. Again, I don't know if the Maror Makom was printed out, but I'll just read just one or two. He says, "V'achar sheyafsiya shliach tzibur shalosh psios la'achorav v'yamod." After the sheyach tzibur takes the three steps back and he stands, maskil mispalel b'kol ram mitchilas habrachos lehotzias mishalo ispalel. Right, he should begin the Shemona Esrei again out loud to be motzi everyone else. V'hakol omdim v'shomim. Everyone stands and listens. V'orun amen achar kol bracha bracha, and answers amen at the end of each bracha. Whether it be the people that already daven their own Shemoneh Esrei, the people that didn't daven their own Shemoneh Esrei, everyone, says the Rambam, stands. Right? That's the implication of the Rambam. Now, what would be the reason to yes stand during Chazar Shatz? What would be the reason to not stand? So the reasons to stand during Chazar Shatz, Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Kuf Chav Dal, Tzivkar Nuchaf, that the minhag to stand is based on the original Takana. What was Chazar Shatz for? People who haven't davened, they need to be Yotzei davening Shmoneh Esrei. How are you going to be Yotzei davening Shmoneh Esrei? By acting like you're davening Shmoneh Esrei. So you stand, feet together, and you listen to Chazar Shatz. That's how you Yotzei. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Igeres HaTshuva, he says, V'yichavein libo b'kol bracha u'bracha, k'dei sheyeda al eiza bracha ona amein, v'yesh lo b'ze schar kafel, v'arei ze k'mo she'espal shtei pa'amim zu'ar chazu. Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's a separate kiyum of tefillah, and we're going to get into Rav Soloveitchik's take on this soon, but there's a separate kiyum of tefillah during Chazar Shatz. So one can't say, I was already Yotzei tefillah, and therefore why bother standing now? It's a new kiyum of tefillah during Chazar Shatz. Again, another possible explanation of why to stand. Not only because the original takana was for Einam Bekiyum, who obviously had to stand, but even people who were Bekiyum, who already davened Shemoneh Esrei, a new kiyum of tefillah in Chazar Shatz. A third reason is the Bir Agra says, if the Einu Baki has to stand, and let's say you have a shul that has 15 people in it. So how many people were Einu Bikiyim? How many people didn't know how to daven? Five? Right? So five guys didn't know how to daven. So what are you going to have? Picture a shul back in those times where there were so many Einu Bikiyim. You're going to have five people standing during Chazar Shatz, and the other 10 people sitting and not paying attention. But we said that if there aren't nine people listening, answering amen, treating it with respect, then it's a bracha levatala for the Shliach Tzibur. So obviously, when the institution of Chazar Shatz was made, they made it universal that everybody should do the same thing. So if the Einu Bekiyim have to stand, then obviously the Bekiyim have to stand as well. Right? That's where the idea of standing during Chazar Shatz comes from. Why do so many people not stand during Chazar Shatz? Where does that come from? The Bala Ma'or, when he talks about the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, talks about something that's called Tkiyos to Me'umar and Tkiyos to Me'yushav. Talks about two sets of Tkiyos Shofar. There's the Tkiyos Shofar that's Me'umar and Me'yushav. What are the Tkiyos to Me'yushav? Right? So Tkiyos to Me'umar are the Tkiyos Mestama during Shemoneh Esrei. Right? What are the Tkiyos to Me'yushav? So we typically think it's the Tkiyos before, it's the Tkiyos before the Shemoneh Esrei, after the Shemoneh Esrei. Bal Amar understands Tkiyos to Me'yushav are the Tkiyos during Chazar Shatz. Tkiyos to Me'yushav are during Chazar Shatz. Why would they be called Tkiyos to Me'yushav? So the Bal Amar seems to indicate that the practice was sit during Chazar Shatz. The Gemara Numa also seems to assume that they sat during Chazar Shatz, and the Sephardic Poskim are very into sitting during Chazar Shatz, based on the idea, Sfardim happen to sit for a lot of things. They sit for Baruch Hu, they sit for Kaddish, right? So the Sfardim sit for Chazar Shatz based on the idea that it's easier to focus and concentrate when you're sitting. Your feet aren't hurting, you're not as fidgety, you're sitting in one place, a little bit easier. So that's the Sfardic Minhag. Now, if you've ever seen why you Rosh Yeshiva daven and how they act in Chazar Shatz, not only do they stand, typically, most of the students of Rav Soloveitchik, they stand with their feet together the entire time, throughout the entire Chazar Shatz. Now, what's that based on? So again, on the one hand, it's just very pashut that if the idea of Chazar Shatz is that someone who's not a baki is going to be yotzei, so you should behave the way he does during tefillah. And the way you behave during tefillah is feet together, right? But there's a little more to it. Rav Soloveitchik, there's a lot more to it. We're not going to get through everything. But Rav Soloveitchik had an idea that there are two separate kiyumim in tefillah together with a minyan. There's what he would call tefillah bitzibur and tefillah hatzibur. Well, luckily, I don't have the Mar Malcolm in front of me. Now Rav Shachter has a long explanation of this in Nefesh HaRav, where he describes that the two kiyumim of tefillah. He says, when you daven by yourself, and there happen to be 10 men over the age of bar mitzvah in the room with you, that is tefillah bitzibur. You're davening, and there's a whole tzibur of other people also davening. That's one kiyum of tefillah. And then, a separate kiyum of tefillah is what we would call tefillahs hatzibur. That is when the shliach tzibur, representing everybody in the room, offers up one tefillah on behalf of everybody in the room. Both are critical, and he goes to great lengths to explain the differences between the two of them. Both are critical. Each is a separate kiyum. Now what? Rav Soloveitchik didn't hold that they originally instituted Chazar Shatz to be motzi mishe'eino baki, to be motzi someone who's not a baki. No, probably he held that way, but he held what was the nature of the takana. The nature of the takana wasn't just stam b'motzi inenu baki. Once they made that takana, they instituted a whole new format of tefillah, a whole new way of approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not just approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam from the midst of a tzibur, but approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam as a tzibur, a very powerful way to approach tefillah. And as such, he held you should treat it like tefillah, standing feet together, treating it like a tefillah. It's a separate kiyum, like we saw the Lashon Rabbeinu Yonah, a separate kiyum of tefillah. So that's the basic idea of Chazar Shatz and how one is supposed to behave during Chazar Shatz. Next issue is, I guess we'll go to the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo one, right? Why is it that some people say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, other people don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? Where does that come from? So what's the basis for it? So the phrase Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, as far as I know, is not mentioned anywhere in Shas. It doesn't appear in Bavli or Yerushalmi. So it certainly doesn't go back that far. Where does it come from? So it is based on a Gemara, but the phrase itself is not used in the Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin tells us, Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe Darshan de Pasuk, Pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Beis, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. When I call out the Shem Hashem, so we should ascribe greatness to God. It's Machlokas, Rashi and the Marsha. The Gemara uses that in Maseches Brachos as the source for the concept of Birchas HaTorah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. That's the source of Birchas HaTorah. Where do you see Birchas HaTorah in that? So I think Rashi on the spot says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when you say a bracha, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you should give Godel Elokeinu through learning his Torah. Meaning you say a bracha first, the Shem Hashem is the bracha, Havu Godel Elokeinu, then you learn God's Torah. If I'm not mistaken, the Marsha says the exact opposite. He says, no, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra is not a reference to the bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra means when you're going to go learn Torah, Shem Hashem is a reference to Torah. Then Havu Godel Elokeinu, make sure you first Havu Godel Elokeinu. That's a reference to the bracha. Why does it matter which phrase is a reference to the bracha? Which phrase is a reference to Torah? Either way, it's a source for Birchas Torah. It's because the concept of Shem Hashem being a reference to Torah is an important concept in Judaism. The Ramban writes in his Hakdamah to his Pirush on Chumash that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is a combination of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban explains, Kabbalistically in some way, that we read it Bereishis Bara, but it could also be read Bara Sheyis Bara, meaning you could divide up the words in any number of ways, in any different combination, and no matter how you do it, it's a different conjugation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And based on that Ramban, Ramban says, based on that idea, the Ramban says, if a single letter is missing from the Torah, it's possible you ruined God's name. So that's what the Sefer HaChinuch in Minchas Chinuch, rather, in Mitzvah Taryag, has a major discussion. If we're not Bekin B'chaseros V'yaseros, if we don't know where every Vav belongs and every Yud and every Hey, so aren't all our Sefer Torah possible? It's a major kasha that he deals with. But that's not our kasha for now. The Gemara in Yuma Darshins, Ki Shem Hashem Ekram, Godel Elkeinu, nothing to do with Birchas HaTorah, but rather, Amar Lehem Moshe L'Yisrael, this was Moshe giving instructions to Klal Yisrael. When I mention the Shem Hashem, you make sure you ascribe greatness to it. Don't allow yourself to hear the Shem Hashem without responding in some way with some show of respect. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The Gemara goes on, say, Hanani ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Pasuk says in Mishlei, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, phrase we're very familiar with, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Amar lahem Navi li Yisrael b'shash ani maskir tzaddik olamim. Who's the tzaddik in Zecher Tzaddik Levracha? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I mention the tzaddik, make sure it's Levracha. Make sure there's a mention of some sort of bracha. Based on that comes the source for saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. Where does it come from? The Torah quotes from his father. Who's the Torah's father? Rush, right? The Torah always quotes in every page of Torah. He writes Aleph Aleph Resh Aleph Shin. Or Heresh Aleph Shin. Adon Yavi Harash. Right? Every page in Torah, he's always quoting his father, Adon Yavi Harash. In fact, Rush is obviously an acronym for Rabbeinu Asher. There's a discussion in the Achronim why he's allowed to call him Rabbeinu Asher. Isn't that he's calling his father by his first name? So they say, yeah, but the acronym is a really good one. It's Rosh. It's saying like he's the head. So since the acronym is such a complimentary one, right? So if your father's first name acronym is the greatest, so you can call him the greatest. So that's why he was, that's I think Pischei Tshuva actually quotes that. But anyway, the Torah quotes from his father. He says, Shamati me Abba Mori. Interesting, over here he doesn't say Adoni Avi Arash. He says, I heard from Abba Mori, Shaya Omer al kol brachu, bracha shomea b'kol makom, baruchu v'arach shema. Every bracha he ever heard, he always said, when he heard the Shem Hashem, baruchu v'arach shema. And he says, where's it from? That Gemara Yuma. V'zeu shamar Moshe Rabbeinu ki Shem Hashem Ekrav v'godol Elkeinu. And Zecha Tzadik Levracha. You mentioned the Tzadik HaShalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you say, you have to say something. You can't allow yourself to hear God's name and not do something, not offer some show of respect. So does that make it a chiyuv? Now it's a chiyuv to say Baruch Hu v'arach shemo. So Rashi on the Gemara Yuma says, no, that's not the Pashup Pshat. Pashup Pshat in that Gemara is not to say Baruch Hu v'arach shemo, it's to say Amen. You don't have to say, as soon as you hear the Shem Hashem, you have to interrupt the bracha in the middle, jump in and throw in a phrase. No, wait till the bracha's over, say Amen. And that's a show of respect. Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu, some blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say Amen, wonderful. That's a perfect show of respect. Right? You don't have to do any more than that. That's how, that's Me'ikra Din. Even the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that you're supposed to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, but his lashon is, Al kol bracha shadam shomea b'kol makom omer. Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Not Chayiv Lomar, not Tzorich Lomar, Omer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Meaning, yeah, it's something to say, it's something that's good to say, that you should say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. What you notice, though, is it has nothing to do with Chazar Shatz in particular, nor with Birchas HaShachar in particular. If your child is part of the worldwide brachos contest or whatever, and they're saying brachos and they're being taught to say brachos out loud, and they take an apple and they say Baruch Ata Hashem El Kedem Elchem Barbri Eitz, right? So it would seem, based on this rush, based on the Torah B'Shem, the rush, as soon as you hear Baruch Ata Hashem, pipe in Baruch Baruch Shemo, right? At any time you should say Baruch Baruch Shemo to whenever you hear the Shem Hashem, right? It's not a din chazar shas, it's not a din brachos shachar, it's a din brachos. Whenever you hear the Shem Hashem, it would seem to apply. Kav Chaim quotes, many say during Birchas Kohanim, Yivracha Hashem, Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Right? They, whenever the Shem Hashem appears in Birchas Kohanim, people say it. The Kav Chaim also says that Alpi Kabbalah, there are strong reasons to dafka say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. That Alpi Kabbalah, whatever those reasons are, there are very strong reasons to say it. The Achronim deal with, what if you want to change it a little bit? What if you're not satisfied? Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, come on, you can make it spicier than that. Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. want to make it a little more. Apparently there were some that have a minhag that they say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema Gadol. So what would be the problem? So the question is that called Meshana Mimabeh Shetav HaChacham Mibrachos? That there's a halacha that when a bracha is formulated by Chazal, you're not allowed to make up your own formulation. You can't reformulate the bracha, even if you think it sounds nicer. You can't be Meshana Mimabeh Shetav HaChacham Mibrachos. So the Rav Vadya writes in the Tshuva, and Yechavadas, Chelizal, and Simon Tess, that this is obviously not called Meshan Mabeh Shetav HaChacham Mibrachos, because Chachamim, the Chazal, the Gemara, never made this formulation. This formulation, best we could tell, was made up by the Rosh in the times of the Rishonim. So, since it was never made up by Chazal, it wouldn't be subject to that rule of Mishan Matbeah Shetav Chachamim Bebrachos. It's interesting, though, the Nadav Yehuda says that probably anyway, Nadav Yehuda doesn't talk about this, about Baruch Hu Roshman. Nadav Yehuda in Madura Tinyan, Ebenezer Sim Pe'al, talks about Birchas Erisin. There's a discussion in the Gemara about Birchas Erisin. Birchas Erisin is a bracha you make by Kiddushin, this whole long-winded bracha that makes very little sense at first glance as to why we have a bracha like this right at a wedding. Right? Because what's the bracha? Sha'asalanu es ha'arusos, right? Asalanu es ha'arayos, hitalanu es ha'nesuos lanu. So, first of all, we're talking about nesuos. You're not even doing Nisuin now, you're just doing Erisin. We're talking about Arayos, very unromantic, under a chuppah to start talking about, you know, you chose to marry this girl as opposed to sleeping with your mom or your sister. You know, Arayos, of all the, or animals, or, you know, like, Arayos. That's an appropriate time to talk at a chasana about Arayos. What does that have to do with Arayos? Chuppah? Chuppah's a year later. So the whole bracha is a very strange bracha, but again, a different shir for a different time, but the Gemara has two deos at the end. Should you be chosem with a baruch? At the end of the bracha, should you add in an extra baruch at Hashem at the end, or do you rely on just the baruch at Hashem you said at the beginning? The Gemara has two deos. That one guy heard from Rabbi Yehuda that he was chosem with a baruch, the other one never heard from Rabbi Yehuda that he was chosem with a baruch. Machlokes. So what do? You have a machlokes, whether to say a bracha, not say a bracha, so what's the rule? You have a psach halacha, so what's the, you have to paskin, you have a gemara in front of you, machlokes, gemara never records a conclusion. So there's a rule, savik brachos, lahakel. Not only by all dinim drabban, brachos in particular, you have to check whether there's a difference between the rule savik brachos lahakel and savik drabban lakula, but the rule is Savi Brach Slahakel, right? So we shouldn't be Chosim B'Baruch. What do we do? We're Chosim B'Baruch. So someone asked the Nod Bihuda, that's crazy, why do we do that? It's a Machlokes in the Gemara never comes to any sort of conclusion. How could you be Chosim B'Baruch? Why are we Chosim? So Nod Bihuda, I don't have it in front of me, hopefully I recall correctly, Nod Bihuda, if I recall correctly, says the following. He says, why is it that Savi Brach Slahakel? Why is it that we're lenient? When you have a suffix whether you should say a bracha or not, you don't say it. Why don't you just say it? Plain safe. Might as well. Can't you just be machmir if you want to? The answer is no, you can't be machmir. Why? Because if you're not chayiv to say the bracha and you do say it, there's an isser chamer called bracha levatala. You're going to be in violation of bracha levatala. That's the reason for suffix bracha levatala. So it says Nod Yehuda. We don't know what the proper formulation of this bracha is. Is it the shorter formulation or the longer formulation? If you were to be mekel and only say the shorter formulation, and you're wrong, you said a bracha levatala. If you're machmir and you say the longer formulation, you said a bracha levatala. So over here, you're not going to say some brach zahakel. Some brach zahakel is, if you're more mekel, you won't say a bracha levatala. If you're machmir, you might be saying a bracha levatala. Over here, by being more machmir, you're going to be saying a bracha levatala. By being more mekel, you're going to be saying a bracha levatala. Right? Because if you're mekel and you're really supposed to be chasim, so you're mishanim at be'er shetav v'chachamim. You're supposed to say the whole text, you said half a text. Baruch atah Hashem elkeinu melech haolam borei. It's a bracha levatala. Shem Hashem levatala. You have to finish off priya eight. Right? Or ha'adama. You have to finish off with something. You can't just say half a bracha. So whichever way you go, it's going to be a bracha levatala. That's Nod Yehuda's point. So it says Nod Yehuda. So wait a second. Okay, so whichever way you go, if you're wrong, if you guess wrong, it's a bracha levatala. So he says, I'll ask again. Why are we chosen with a baruch? Whichever way you go, you're wrong. So why don't we choose that way? Why don't you choose the other way? Why don't we choose not adding that extra baruch? So it says in the view as follows. If we're wrong, and we're chosen with a baruch, let's go the other way first. If really you're supposed to be chosen with a baruch, and you're not, you only start the bracha and you stop halfway, you never say that ending bracha, how many brachas levatala did you say? One, right? You said one bracha levatala. Because you said Baruch Atah Hashem at the beginning, and you stopped, right in the middle. Bracha levatala, right? Now, did you get credit for saying Birchas Erusin? No, because you stopped right in the middle. Let's say it's really supposed to be a short bracha, and you add in the extra Baruch Atah Hashem. Right? How many brachas of Atal did you say?
Two.
He says only one. Now you could have argued it's two. This is his chiddush. He says it's only one. Why? Because the first half he did exactly right. It was supposed to be the first five lines of it were exactly like it was supposed to be. You just added in an extra Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. And that was Levatala. Did you get credit for saying Birchas Erusin? Yes. It's like saying Baruch Atah Hashem. Well, let's say Birchas Hamazon. It's like saying a whole benching and then just saying a whole bunch of gibberish with Shem Hashem afterwards. Did you do benching? Yes. Did you do an Avera by saying a whole bunch of gibberish afterwards? Yes, but at least you did benching. So the Yudha says, that's why we were chosen with the Baruch. Why am I mentioning this? Because Rav Avadya's point, that Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo HaGadol, don't worry, it's not called Mishan Madbea, because Chazal were never misakin it. Even if Chazal were misakin it, by adding to something, after you already finished the phrase, it's likely not called Mishan Madbea anyway. It's not called that you're changing the text. You said the full text without changing anything. You then said something else, but that's not called a change in the text of the bracha. Okay, I took it a little too far afield over there. Let's bring it back home now. We're talking about Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in general, right? So, is there any situation where you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? Assuming that you hold like those who say it's a good thing to say. You hold like the Rush, let's say, that overall it's a good thing to say. Is there any situation where it should not be said? So, what? Good, exactly. Whenever you're not allowed to be mafsik, Magen Avraham says, wherever you can't talk or you can't be mafsik, you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Mishnah Berurah points out, you don't say it on a bracha that you need to be yotzei. If you need to hear that bracha to be yotzei, you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. For instance, it's coming up soon, the bracha Mikra Megillah, right? We announce every year, everyone should have in mind with the brachas that are made in the Megillah that you want to be yotzei. And don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. We say it before Shofar. You want to be Yotzei with that bracha also. You don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Just answer Amen. Not Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Why? What's the problem saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo?
You may not hear the bracha.
One problem is you might not hear the bracha. Because what if that's a problem during Chazar Shatz also, if you might not hear the bracha. So you know what the solution is during Chazar Shatz? We tell the Shliach Tzibur, pause. We say Baruch Atah Hashem, pause so that people have enough time to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and then continue. So why don't we say the same thing by Shofar? Just pause. So it's more than you just not going to hear the bracha. There's something else. If I need to be yotzei that bracha, I'm not just answering to your bracha. If I need to be yotzei that bracha, the concept of Shomea Ka'ona is in play. Whatever you're saying, it's ki'ilu I'm saying. Obviously, whatever I'm saying is ki'ilu I'm saying also. So, you're saying Baruch Atah Hashem, I'm saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. What do we got? Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Hashem Kishon Musos V'Tzivanu. Okay, Melcham, Hashem Kishon Musos V'Tzivanu, right? You've added in a phrase right in the middle of a bracha that's ki'ilu you're saying. When you need that bracha, so then you've changed the text of the bracha by adding in Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So that's why all the poskim in the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham and others, by Birchas Megillah, Shofar, all those things, we don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Rav Avadya quotes a Maaser Rokeach that you know, Rav Avadya is always going to find the one shita that says otherwise. He found that shita and rejects it. Okay, but there is a shita that says otherwise, says that you can say it. Okay, so just to know that it exists. But Pashtus is that you're not allowed to say it for that exact reason. Rav Moshe says absolutely also to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo during Pesukei Dezimra, because you're in the middle of brachos. You start with Baruch Shamar and you got to end with Yishtabach. Those two brachos sandwich the entire Pesukei Dezimra. You can't just say something in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. Therefore, you can't even answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo during Pesukei Dezimra, because it's a hefsek. Again, not because you need to be able to say whatever bracha someone is saying. No, just because you hear the Shem Hashem. Anything, any talking during that time is no good. But there are some people that never ever say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Now, why is that? Where does that come from? So there are two basic sources. There's the Maaser Rav. The Maaser Rav of Vilna Gaon, Os Mem Gimel, says that the Groz Minhag was that I think the Lashon is Ein Tzarich Lomar, that you don't need to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So there are those that say that he was Makbe Dafka not to, and it was exactly what Dr. Baum mentioned before, because he was afraid if you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, you're going to miss the end of the Bracha. So Mishnah Berurah says, no problem, I figured out, I can solve the problem. Say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo and tell the Shem Tzibur to wait, to pause, so that you have enough time to say it. The Torah Tmima in his Sefer Baruch Sha'amar and Tfilah has a much more creative reason. Probably not correct, but much more creative. And he says that the reason the Grad didn't like Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo was he was worried about Shabtai Tzvi. The followers of Shabtai Tzvi used to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, not with a Vav before the second Baruch. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Why? Because the gematria of Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo without the Vav is exactly the gematria of Shabtai Tzvi. I didn't leave you enough time before the end of the shiur to figure it out. But it's exactly the gematria of Shabtai Tzvi. So that they would dafka make a point to scream Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo without the U. So says Baruch Shamar, to solve the Vilna Gaon's problem, we should overemphasize the U. Say it and overemphasize the Vav, and that messes up their whole gematria. Baruch Hu U Baruch Shemo. I haven't heard too many people do that. So Sefer Maaser says that the Vilna Gaon just didn't want a hefsek in the middle of Chazar's shot. That's why he didn't say it. That's one approach, right? One is that the Vilna Gaon, for whatever reason, the Vilna Gaon didn't say it or didn't think he had to say it. Rav Shechter quotes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Soloveitchik was against it for a different reason. But to tell you the truth, to be completely honest, I don't understand the reason fully. I'll tell you what he says, and you'll tell me if you understand it. He says that not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo based on something that Rav Chaim Velazhner writes in Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Beis Perek Dalid. He says whenever we're mishabeach Hakadosh Baruch Hu, whenever we offer any praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we never praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmuso. We never praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself. We always praise the Shem Hashem. For instance, Nekadesh es Shimcha ba'olam. Right? It's always Maritz Makdish Mamlichim es Shem. By Kaddish, Yiskadal Yiskadash, Shemei Rabbah. Right? Yihi Shem Hashem Mavorach. That's the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We can understand the titles we give him. So whenever we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's always his shame, not him himself. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like the formulation. Baruch Hu? We never say that. It's Baruch Shemo, yeah, that you could say. But Baruch Hu? You should never say such a thing. The problem is that we say stuff like that all the time. Like Baruch HaTah. Hashem? Okay, so maybe he's the source of all blessing, whatever. Go through your daily tefillah. You'll see that there's a lot of times. I asked Rav Shechter about this once. Aren't there like dozens of places where we always refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in second person? You know, praising him, not his name, not some title. He says, yeah, we asked Rav Soloveitchik that question. I didn't understand his answer. Okay, so I'm in good company. But that was Rav Soloveitchik's objection on some level to why not to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo.